Everyone, I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation. I'm very excited to have Kathy Gordon, a nurse midwife with New Birth Company. I got to speak with her about 8 years ago when I was starting my birth center in Michigan and loved her idea of the birth center franchise model and wanted to reconnect and give her perspective the last few years, how their birth center is doing and suggestions to the community. Thanks for being here, Kathy.
Hey. Kathy Gordon, I am a co-founder of New Birth Company, which is in the Kansas City metropolitan area. I also started a birth center back in 2004 called Saj Fem Birth Center of Kansas City. And New Birth Company, just a quick summary, has upgraded that facility into one of their locations. So I've been doing this for quite a while. I'm a certified nurse midwife. I'm also a family nurse practitioner. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be very curious to pick your brain, like if you did hand-in-hand the family nurse practitioner, or was that an evolving thing? Because I've contemplated it, and I'd love to know the pros and cons of having both degrees.
So for me, if I say divide and conquer and look at all of the different people I've worked with, what it does for me is I'm calmer. And what I get at is, you know, midwives keep saying we want to do primary care for women, but when it comes down to it, they're scared to death of it. And because I have that family nurse background and actually practiced as a family nurse practitioner, somebody with hypertension doesn't scare me as much as other people, or somebody with thyroid disease or otitis media or upper respiratory infection, anything like that. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll see ya. Because I'd rather see the patients myself than have them go to some urgent care or ER where there's really sick people. So it makes for really incredible assessment skills for out of hospital birth, and as well as the fear factor of primary care. You have such a better, well-rounded knowledge base. So I love it. I think most nurse midwives that are also family nurse practitioners did it probably for the same reason I did. Our patients don't want to leave you when they're pregnant. They want to stay with you, and you're like, okay, then I got to go back to school, you know, because we don't deliver babies. Family nurse practitioners can do prenatal care, but they don't do the birth. And so it's that handoff. So now we can keep them, and that's lovely. And then see these little kids grow up. It is the best day every time they walk in with their five little kids and you've actually delivered all of them. It's just lovely. It's kind
of
like,
I think of the population too you serve. Like I serve the Amish, and it's like, okay, after a month they're not going to see a pediatrician. Can I, or their husbands have hypertension, and like I would love to be able to do the whole family. I think of very examples where
it's like that. It's the rural healthcare model, that always the hometown family doctor. It's that model where people grow up with those healthcare providers. It's the same thing. It's lovely. It works. And the most important thing is we know how to refer when we don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a great win-win.
Awesome. So you guys are based in Kansas, and what year did you start New Birth Company, and how has it evolved over time?
So New Birth Company started in 2010, and it grew as anticipated incredibly fast. It was a nice problem. But fast growth, sometimes you have to catch up to it. We were fighting for good reimbursement, fighting for quality care within our system while maintaining and building bridges within our healthcare community. And it wasn't easy, but it was worth the time and effort. So the first few years were really crazy. Because of our growth, we noticed in year two, we were turning people away. And thus the franchise idea was like, we have got to replicate, because being a community-based birth center is so key to the family unit and so key to birth itself. We needed to have another way to allow people to come in. And still, you know, there's 14 hospitals in our area that do labor and delivery services. So do you really need something else? Well, obviously we did, because we were at capacity. And so we started a second location purposely for the overflow. And then also in our own heart's desire to work on the urban core of our own city and give back in a bigger way and change outcomes. And so we've been very focused on that, and then building our own business at the same time. So that's just a very quick summary, but yeah, It's been crazy the last 10 years. Good crazy.
And I loved even we talked 8 years ago about, okay, I want to start a birth center. I have the passion, but like, okay, that McDonald's mindset, you've already done all this hard work to create it and just redo it in another area. Have you had much luck getting the franchise out of Kansas? Because I think that's the biggest barrier when we think of creating a franchise is each state has different regulations. Have you had much luck?
Correct. Not yet. And the reason why is birth centers are not all created equally. You can't franchise a birth center like you can McDonald's. And the way I'm going to use a fast food place, you know, McDonald's says this is our menu. And New Birth Company says this is our menu. It's called our policy manual. But midwives are trained and in their minds, in their practice, I should say, do different things. And so our policy manual has become the guidance for the franchise model if you choose to follow that. And it's called standards of care. But you know, a lot of times we, as we've noticed, people don't follow the standards, or they'll do, you know, they'll practice a model that's different. And we are like, I'm going to go all the way to free birthing. You know, if somebody wants to free birth, we're totally cool, but please invite a skilled birth attendant. So if things don't go well, we're there to help you. And so we just had a free birth where mom caught her baby, delivered her own placenta, all of that stuff. It was beautiful. But we were there just in case they needed help. And we wouldn't normally need to be there. But for some reason, I'll give me to say this, even in the Bible, it says, you know, there's going to be trials and tribulation in pregnancy and birth. And if we didn't need to be there, we wouldn't have jobs. So we are there because we're trying to keep mom and baby safe. That's the whole purpose. And so for some women, we can do that. We can offer that. But there's others that we need to be more involved in their labor and their delivery. And so, again, so that's what makes a franchise hard is, yes, state regulations, the medical community around them, and I'm sorry, waving at my husband, he just walked by, and their midwifery spiritual side of how they see birth.
Well, and I think it's the community you're serving too. You've got so many different variable dynamics. Like I can, with Midwifery Business Consultation, I'm helping so much with business plans and ideas and brainstorming, but I've got tools and templates, but it's just to adapt to your area and customize. Like I wondered how that was working out, because McDonald's, a hamburger is a hamburger across the country and people like hamburgers, but people birth all different ways. Community needs are different. The dynamics, the overhead costs, the insurance. I mean, there's so many variables that I was curious how that, it's a great idea concept, but keeping it state versus nationwide, is that a little more realistic?
Yeah. All babies are born. That's always been my philosophy. It just depends on where you are. Yeah. From doing a lot of international work, they are born. You can deliver them in a canoe. You can deliver them in the Sahara Desert. You can be in a nice, beautiful birth center like New Birth Company, or you can be in a hospital here in the U.S. or West Africa. They are born. The physiologic side of birth is all the same, but there's all those variables, just like you were saying. And yes, the community is a big factor. One of the things that's very, very, very important is develop bridges and get out there in the community and don't be considered a threat. Be considered an ally. Don't be against the hospital before the hospital. You know, we have to walk in humility. We have to say, I need you, because we do need them. And we need to be able to walk into a hospital with a patient and not feel like we're under the gun or we're doing a train wreck transfer. And when somebody questions me, I usually say, would you agree this is a good idea to transfer? You know, for a higher level of care. It's appropriate, just like a community, rural community critical access hospital transfers to a city when it needs a higher level of care. We shouldn't be scrutinized. And so many birth centers fail because of their relationships with hospitals and with the healthcare providers of the hospital. They don't work that network, that community, to help be more of a friend instead of a foe. I hope that makes sense. But that's the demise of many. The other demise is, unfortunately, we were talking earlier, was it's getting paid. And nurse midwives are not at the 100% of the Medicare reimbursement level. We have to keep asking for that. We have to keep focusing on that. And yes, that's governed by state levels. And when you talk about Medicaid, but every insurance player, you know, there's power. If all of our birth centers would stick together and say, hey, here's one of the things we say. We say we are the largest employer of midwives in the state of Kansas. Every birth center could probably say that, because how many places actually employ midwives? And that means something. As business owners, that's called minority business, and because women are minority business owners. And then as midwives or employers, we're totally in a different ballgame. And you, there's so much leverage to use to get your reimbursement out. The last part of it is you have to go to your legislators. And so I'm running for state representative because it's time to have an insider voice. We are sick and tired of fighting this and not and playing the game in our medical community that, for some reason, if there's not a physician in the office, then we aren't as good. And so the outcomes are out there using, there's some incredible articles coming out of with like the Strong Start study that has such good weight that 110 birth centers participated in. AABC is doing a ton of stuff like that. It is incredible. That data is speaking about outcomes, and that's what outcome-based healthcare is, the way to go. It's not anything but that. Who wants the best outcome? Everybody does. The insurance companies do. So when we show that, we should get better reimbursement.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you're saying. It's amazing how much, like, the point of doing these videos and the point of starting Midwifery Business Consultation is to pull from this knowledge and suggestion and resources and not redo the wheel. And like, I met with Moira Tenenbaum and we talked about the politics and the advocacy of midwives. They're like, well, I'm just going to fight my fight with supporting labor. And I was like, certified professional midwives have gotten an advantage compared to nurse midwives with legislature and autonomy and nationwide. That's how you get things done. Learning business, learning taxes, learning politics is how we serve women. And it's not why most of us joined it. But as you evolve, you realize to make your practice successful and prevent burnout and be a profitable, long sustaining, you have to get involved in those things.
Absolutely. You have to. There's not a choice. If you want to be sustainable and you want to stay around, you have to get involved. Yeah.
So with your background, I love that you've been to all these different places. What has that perspective brought to the birth center when you created your business plan, your mission, and your practice?
It's possible. That's what it's done. It's very possible. All, you know, one of my biggest arguments, is all babies are born in the hands of midwives, in more hands of midwives than any other hands. I'll say it that way. And so if we look at the world population, oftentimes we don't look at that. We look at what is in our own country, and our own country's data is very skewed by the medical world. And when we look globally and you think about how do women in China give birth? How about in Russia? How about in Africa? They give birth with midwifery care. It's only the big cities, I'll say it that way, or metropolitan areas that actually have physicians available would they use that. But most of the healthcare entities globally use physicians in a tiered level, like we do in a birth center. When I need a surgeon, I'll let you know, is what I say. and otherwise, we're going to manage this to the best of our ability. But when I need you, I will refer that client. And that's the best outcome model, and it's also the most affordable. So, you know, if we use World Health Organization data, or if we use UNICEF.
The Lancet Journal has an amazing research, yeah.
Absolutely. It's like, but see, the Americans don't read that stuff. And so they don't realize that they're behind the times or they've lost their opportunity, because it used to be midwives, you know, caught most of the babies, and now it's turned into the medical world. And that was marketing. So we have to get back to marketing midwifery.
Yeah. Well, and I want to go back to your direction about being proactive, because I've seen that with birth centers all over the country where they're like, well, I'm my own entity and we'll talk once there's a transfer. I was very passionate when I started my practice. I met with the local hospitals, the doctors, even if I didn't have a memorandum of understanding, they're like, I'm like, I opened a birth center. This is my policies. Here's my book. Here's my bags. And they're like, I've never met you before and there's no transfer. There's no problem. And I'm like, they're like, this isn't what other midwives do. And I'm like, but this is how I do things. I am proactive. And it made a huge impact on that relationship and that rapport. Like, okay, she is a little different than what we've had. We don't want to meet when there's tension high and uncertainty. We want a good rapport. Relationships are powerful for the success of your business.
It totally is. I think it's the glue. It's building those relationships. And I like to be able to say, like, I got a text, one of the neonatologists that we chat with about issues, I'll just say that way, sent me a text, I'm a granddaddy. And I'm like, oh, yay, we're all cheering. And it's like, I love being on that level where they feel like they can share a brand new birth with us. And we don't go to church together. We don't hang out in staff meetings together, but we have that relationship where he values birth. He values what we do, even in his highly critical way. And our patients, whenever we have a NICU baby, they're so easy to take care of compared to what they deal with, but they value that. And the reason why is like what you've said, you go out and you build those relationships. We invite them to the birth center. We know that if their eyes will see that we are not crazy rogue, you know, doing things in the woods type stuff, that they'll have a better understanding that we're trying to be safe. We're trying to be just like they are.
Mm-hmm. And we're not trying to hide anything. We're transparent. I mean, I was like, I'm an open book. Ask me anything. Ask me what I do in this situation and I'll give you a copy. Yeah. Like they laughed. I brought a copy of my policy binder and I'm like, these are national standards. These are set up to AABC and CABC. If you have any questions, this is the organization you go to.
Yes, exactly. And I've taken our policy manual too. And it's funny, some of them kind of pick it apart and I'm like, oh good, another set of eyes. Instead of going, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, this is good. Another set of eyes looking at what we're doing, and they're either going to accept it or make recommendations. And most of them all accept it. They don't, you know, and then the recommendations are great. They're usually a typo or something, but it's like, oh, thank you for catching that. You know what I mean? It's great. So I love that.
Well, and on the other direction, a lot of states with birth center regulations require a medical director. And we see too many times, I mean, I just seen recently on Facebook, I won't name the birth center, but to be on pins and needles that your director will retire and you don't have a backup. If you've got a good working relationship with multiple obstetricians, or in some states you can use a family practice doctor that does OB services, I see too many times birth centers just, they're too fragile because of that one medical director support. If you build those relationships ahead of time, you can reduce a lot of business trauma.
Well, we've been faced with a couple of different issues like that. So it's good that you bring that up. One of them was we had a physician die. And so it's like, our license.
Couldn't plan that. You can't predict that's going to happen.
So our licenses were at risk because in our state, we have to have a collaborative practice. We have to have a physician sign. And so what do? You know, it's like at 10 o'clock at night when I learned all of this, I called another physician saying, I need help. Can you help us? And you know what they said? Yes, we've got your back. And I'm like, that's what it takes. It's those relationships so that you can, and without notice, have a backup plan. One other time we got... We had two physicians that were working very closely with us, and they both were planning to be out of town at the exact same time. So that meant, you know, so we also deliver in the hospital for the patients that we don't plan hospital births, only for the ones that risk out of our care. You know, they're on medications for insulin dependent or diabetes, hypertension. So we deliver them in the hospital, and so that meant without them, could we have privileges, right? So one of our midwives got the letter that your privileges have been suspended. And we're like, what? That's crazy. And what they did for me was they said, we're gonna hire a locum to cover you and your patients while they're out of town. And they just suspended that one so that it could keep it cheaper for them. But mm-hmm. see, that letter shows that this is truly a problem. Mm-hmm. And so they actually, because they care about us, went above and beyond knowing the two physicians at Baptist primarily at their location were going to be out of town. So that's only because of a good relationship. And everybody needs to work on that. And they need to value that you value them. And they need to value that you are doing the right things. And the only way to do that is get in there, like you said, Leslie, and just start talking to everybody and build those relationships. And I always say, go with humility. Don't, if they want to pick apart your policy manual, say, oh, thank you. I hate you, but thank you. Because they are trying to help you and their eyes are seeing something that maybe you can learn from, even though we don't like criticism, we're going to get it, but be open to it. So,
well, and just a lot of times I look at it as questions or misunderstandings. There's a stereotype, yeah. there's a background history. There's something that I have an opportunity to define the scope. Maybe there's a lot of lack of education. I always try to put it in a positive light. This is an opportunity for education versus they're nitpicking me. There's just a lot of understanding. Very few consumers yes. know what midwives are, let alone the medical community, and the little bit of myths and stories create a bad rap. And so it's our opportunity to be proactive and change that image when it's not during direct patient care. So I wholeheartedly agree with you.
Exactly. One of our hospitals does about 30% midwifery births, which we love. And another hospital that we deliver at does about 6%. And so we want to continue, not that we want to have hospital births, but we want to continue pushing the idea of what is a midwifery birth and grow that within the community more and more and more. One of the things that we've learned from the physicians that deliver in the hospitals all the time is that a healthy birth center, like New Birth Company, like many in the country, actually set the standard for out-of-hospital births in their area. And it helps people be safer. For example, let's talk about if you're 42 weeks and 5 days and you're still pregnant, and is that a good idea, and how long do you go? Well, at the birth center model, because of the standards, we're not allowed to keep the patient there. We're like, we need to induce you and let's get you have this baby, things like that. But it oftentimes out of the hospital or in the home, people will let them go until they go into labor. And so having a healthy birth center model is more public than home birth, and having that healthy model actually makes it harder for people to not follow standards of care when it comes to waiting until they're 44 weeks and they go into labor and the baby is not doing well. So, because those outcomes do affect us all. So build those relationships.
So how would you say with COVID-19 and the pandemic has affected your birth center nationwide? I'm seeing a massive demand for midwives. And how are you guys handling yeah. the increased PPE, the screening process, the influx of new phone calls?
Well, our state's very divided. We are in a bi-state area, Missouri, Kansas. So we're right on the state line. And both states are very divided. There is massive fear of COVID, as well as hardcore regulations. And believe it or not, if I use the hospital as my example, we are privileged to care for women in two hospitals, and they are in the same system, but they don't have the same guidelines. So COVID has been such a game for all of us. And what we've done with that is we follow the basic guidelines as a state licensed government facility. I mean, the license is through our Kansas Health Department. We follow some of those guidelines, but not to a T. We have not restricted visitors, for example. So there was a major, people were fearing the hospital, and we treated them just like we would any transfer. We interview them. We find out, hey, are you really prepared for out of hospital birth? You know, no epidural, in other words. And if you're not prepared, then we recommend you stay with your provider, you know, because the trauma of birth when you're not prepared occurs. When you're prepared, it's an athletic event. You know what I'm saying? It's a mind game. And so being properly prepared and having your team, but I honestly can imagine having a baby alone right now in a hospital. I would run from it also. So I know our home birth community got overwhelmed. We got a lot of requests. Everybody got a lot of requests for transfers. And we did our best to try to rapidly prepare people, but there were some that we just said, you need to stay with where you're going because you weren't prepared for this, and we're so sorry. On the other side, we advocated to get that doula in the door, and it worked. And so the two hospitals that I mentioned before with two incredibly different guidelines added the doulas. And so not only could they have a partner, but they could have a doula as long as everybody wore their masks and all that stuff, and they approved or they agreed to go through the screening. So we advocated for that because even though they're not our patients, they deserve an incredible birthday too. And doulas are such a key part of this, and not every partner is a good doula.
Even building that relationships, when you gave the example of how many times can you do a potential transfer, but then you don't accept them, but still give suggestions to advocate. And you're doing what's best for women versus it's us versus them. And when you have that strong relationship and you have hospital privileges, they're all your guys' clients and patients. It's just which setting makes the most sense for them.
Yes. And people need to go where they feel the best. They feel the most safe. They feel the most trust. Otherwise, it's just not a good match, you know? And we would have gladly taken every single one of them, but not all of them were prepared for what we were doing. So it's not a good mix then, but we tried. So COVID to us has been a good thing.
Yeah. So the last question, just so that we're not taking everybody's precious time, what tips, advice would you give for any midwife considering starting a birth center? What background knowledge, what planning, any just like something more in a synopsis of inspiration to midwives?
My experience alone would say work in a birth center. That if you think you want to run a birth center, go work for one. And so that you get a different perspective, because birth center staff do things totally different than what one would think. You know, we are mandatorily required to have nurses. They don't think doing laundry is nursing. And I'm like, well, I'm sure you didn't learn it in nursing school, but it is here. You know, so there's a different, and we talked a little bit about billing and talking to patients about their bills. And for midwives, knowing what your NPI number is, knowing what the CAQH system is, that's all very important. And people just take jobs and somebody else does that. In the community setting, we do it. So it's like, go work for one, get your feet solidly sound in that setting, and then decide if this is really for you. That's what my recommendation is. I call, there's a lot of wannabes out there, people that want to do it and they think, oh, you're doing it, I can do it. And I'm like, go for it, give it a try. But it's not as easy as one would think. So yeah. It's hard to run a business, and the number one hardest thing is staffing. So in conclusion, I would say always look for your replacement. And because if we don't start doing that, if you don't do it too, we will not build the legacy we want. We want more birth centers. We want more midwives. So we need to build the legacy of our replacement so that it goes on and on and on.
Yeah. So, and that's why the whole mission of why I started Midwifery Business Consultation 2 years ago was I personally went through burnout. I personally had the hard side of lack of education. Like if some of the things I know now from my additional training and skills, I wish every midwife could have this good sound foundation, because I want to support more midwives and birth centers and get that next generation, because I don't want the average burnout in 7 years. And I don't want midwives not realizing they have to do the business, the billing, those fund administration things they didn't quite anticipate.
Yeah. And we got great people to do that stuff. It's just connecting. Like talked about it earlier, just connecting all of those people. There's people that do billing. They love billing.
Yeah. Yep. It's either you be the expert or you know who the expert is to find.
That's right. Okay. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah. So speaking of help, Kathy, I know you're a very busy lady, but if people have basic questions, are they able to email you or call your office or just ask for some basic feedback? Or do you have some resources to send them to? Any support we could give aspiring business
midwives? Number one, there's a ton of resources on AABC, and it's like $25 a year for a person to be a member. It's very affordable, and there's a lot of resources. That's the number one link, I would say, rather than that way they can find what's best for them and not, you know, yeah.
What works in your local area. Yeah, I like the nationwide resources.
And I'm going to say this. I don't think if you're a nurse midwife or a professional midwife or a traditional midwife, it should be any different. Mm-hmm. And so AABC is very open like that. And so it takes out that fear factor. A lot of times, because I'm a nurse midwife, think people have this hierarchy, like I'm going to do X, Y, Z. And I'm like, I follow the same standards that you all do. So come on. You know what I'm saying? So, my email, I do, as you know, I do get around to answering it. I do get a lot of requests for things, and I do my best to answer them. So,
well, we really appreciate you doing that for all of us and spending the time today. So thank you so much, Kathy.
You're welcome. Have a great day and stay warm or stay cool.
Will do. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Bye.